Today on Real Radio.
They're hurting. And God has got their attention. And they begin to actually, in chapter 6 we learn, they get actually wise about how holy the God of Israel is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 5 and 6, and it seems that there was a battle of the gods, if you will, going on here. Ironically, the God of Israel, the one true God, was, in a roundabout way, still recognized and glorified by the pagan Philistines. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing his mini-series called This Holy God.
And he is a holy God, you know. Israel had lost the battle. Not only that, they lost the ark. Taken away captive. The Philistines have got it. And they're thinking, we've got the God of Israel. We've captured him. Remember, they take the ark in before the presence of Dagon, which in Hebrew, Dagon means grain. The God of grain. The pagan god. Dagon was kind of a freaky looking, funky idol. He was kind of big. And he had arms that were kind of outstretched like this. And some say that he had a type that looked like a type of a fish head, or looked like a fish head. A man's body, kind of a lizard type tail. Goofy looking, ugly idol. And Dagon was their god of grain. When they prayed at springtime for a good harvest, they would pray to Dagon. And he was their chief god. And so all the Astaroths and the Baals and all these various pagan gods that the Philistines were involved in, they all kind of answered to Dagon. But you remember last time when they captured the ark? They took him into the temple of Dagon, remember? And they were so, it's got to be comical. They put him in there, and it was traditional, and it still kind of is in some cultures, to where the army that you conquered, you would grab their goods, you know, and bring it in before your treasury, and you would add it to your storehouse, because this is what we did. And you would parade that about. So what they're thinking is, we've captured the Hebrew God, this ark, this God thing, and we've brought it in before our God, and it will be part of the war treasure of our great God. And so they place the Ark of the Covenant before Dagon, and they go to bed. And it says there that they get up early in the morning to come and see. Now that implies that they're excited. Come on, kids, get up. We're going to go see what our great God has delivered into our hands. And they go in there, and it's just the best, because they open the doors to the temple, and there, face down before the ark, is Dagon, flat on his face, right before the ark. And they go, well, that's really strange. And you could just see the moms covering the faces of the kids. Look over there, as they prop their God back up, put him into position to be their leader again. They go to bed. They get up the next day early in the morning. They come on out there, and there's Dagon again. But this time, in falling down, his neck is broken. His head's fallen off. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's got to look like Mickey Mouse who gets broadsided by one of those ponies on Main Street in Disneyland. You know, he's stumbling about, his cardboard head's hanging off, the screen's hanging there, you know. I mean, it's got to look hilarious. Their God, the head's fallen off. Not only that, but his hands are broken off. All that's left is the torso of this God, and it's not a good deal. And they're thinking now, look, we've got to do something. And so they begin to move the ark away to other Philistine cities. And with that, there's this terrible plague. And the plague is twofold. Number one, there's rats or mice, some of your Bibles say, that a plague of rats or mice broke out. Well, frankly, it may be that a bubonic type plague was in association with that. Very possible, because boils broke out upon the people, which is like bubonic plague. It begins with a boil. But these were very special boils. These were boils that the Philistines got in their private parts. And some of your Bibles use the word hemorrhoids. Some of your Bibles use the word tumors, politely, but it's actually hemorrhoids. Their worship of pagan gods became quite a pain to them, literally. And their failure to reverence the God of Israel haunted them. And a nation, a great enemy of Israel, now radically humbled, as they can't do anything because they have been infected with this horrible plague of divine judgment in their private parts. That's got to be a bad deal. Now listen, very quickly, I don't want to get too much into this, but it is amazing, and God is funny sometimes. Sexual worship was highly recognized as their most desired worship. They had temples of various pornographic gods. So what's funny to me about that is that God stops this pagan worship in a moment, because they're all infected, and their sexual deviant ways is immediately halted because they're hurting, and God has got their attention. And they begin to actually, in chapter 6 we learn, they get actually wise about how holy the God of Israel is. And so it's very amazing. It's very exciting to consider what's before us. And so in your note-taking, as we really wrap up what we started together, in chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, I should say, down to verse 21, in chapter 6, we see here, regarding this holy God, we see here that there is a great fear that we need to be aware of, and that is the failing to repent of sin. God is working in their lives. They need to repent of sin. God wants not only Israel to repent of sin, but he wants all people to repent of sin. And right here we see and we learn a very good example from this pagan group of people. Number one, watch this. In verses 1 through 4, we see that confession of sin must take place. Now, these are pagans. They don't know anything. They don't have a Bible. They don't have the books of Moses. They have nothing. They're pagans. But look what happens. They begin to think, and they're thinking spiritual thoughts. Verses 1 through 4, confession of sin must be made if we are going to repent. And it says in verse 1, now the ark of the Lord was in the country there, and it was there for 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us, listen, how we should send it to its place. 7 months, let's get it out of here. So they said, if you want to send away the ark of God to Israel, do not send it away empty, but by all means return it with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is a trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden hemorrhoids and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, or their chief leaders, 10 of them. For the same plague was on all of you and your lords. Okay, these were the priests brought in. They're pagan. But note what they know. You know what? The Hebrew God, he's upset. He's holy. And what we are telling you to do is to generate an offering to give to him. This is smart thinking for pagan people. In other words, You better believe and say you're sorry to God now. And this trespass offering is a classic. It is not just a sin offering. You know a sin offering? A sin offering is when you come and you confess to God and you repent of your sin because you've erred. And, you know, you and I sin in many ways during the course of a day. We may not even intend to do it, but we do it. But a trespass, that's different. A trespass is when someone, let's say, posts a sign and says, "Do not step on the grass." And you look at the sign, and you look right, and you look left, and then you run all over the grass. You know you're not supposed to do it. You know that that's not what you're to be doing. But it's not a sin. It is beyond a sin, if I can put it that way. It is a trespass. It is a willful, bold disobedience in the face of God. God, I know that you said not to do this. I'm going to do it anyway. And in fact, I'm going to plan on doing this the next time or next week. Now, this is very frightening because the Old Testament tells us that God will not forgive the sin of the high hand, the old King James Bible puts it, or willful sin. Wow. That's strong. They said, "What do we do?" And their priests, who are pagans, say, well, number one, confess. Confess by offering to God of the Hebrews a trespass offering. You not only sinned, or we not only sinned, we willfully sinned against him, and we went and captured this ark, and we killed his people, and we took captive part of their goodies, and we better say we're sorry. And that's an amazing thing for a pagan group of people to come to. We've sinned against a holy God. By the way, the Judeo-Christian view of God of the Bible, the God of the Bible announces that he's holy. He says that he dwells in light, that he is not able to be approached by us. Did you know that? We so often think of him in a casual way. God says, I can't be approached. There must be one sent representing me to you. Because God in his completeness cannot be seen. That's why God is revealed to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know this. And Moses, he wanted to see God, but God says, "Mo, you can't see me. It'll kill you. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by, and after I pass by, you can see where I've been." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of anticlimactic to me. I'm talking to you. I'm hearing you, God. I want to see you, but you're gonna let me see where you've been? I mean, what kind of a thrill is that? Well, God stuffs Moses in a crack of a rock. That had to be something. Just, he passes by. After he passes by, somehow God releases his hand from Moses' eyes. And Moses sees what is called the afterglow of God. And his face, his skin is somehow altered physically. The spiritual world crossing that line and into the threshold of the material world left its mark. And it left its mark, that is, God left his afterglow on the face of Moses. And then he came down the mountain glowing. He had to put a bag over his head because he didn't want to see, or he didn't want the nation of Israel to see God's glory departing from his face. So he covers his face. Isn't that wild? God is unapproachable. You don't play with them. Israel thought, remember, in our previous studies, let's take the ark to war. We'll win for sure. You don't treat God like that. He's not a trinket. Hey, give me a rabbit's foot and bring the ark. He's not like that. He's not a sideshow. Yes, I know that the ark was about the size of this pulpit, probably not much bigger or smaller. Covered in gold, that's pretty. You know, ooh, covered in gold, that gets our attention. Woo-hoo, gold, wow. But that's not where God lived. But the nation of Israel put all of their identity on that ark, that piece of wood. It was a symbol of where God said, I'm going to meet you at. It was a model of what heaven spoke about. But you see, these Philistines, they say, let's capture this God. Materialize the God. Doesn't work. But they learn something. They must repent of their sin. Confession of sin is always a necessity if we're going to grow. Always. Look at verses 5 through 12. There's a sacrifice of honor. They make a sacrifice of honor. We have to do the same thing if we're going to repent. We have to make a sacrifice of honor. Verse 5 says, therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of the rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Interesting what they know, isn't it? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? Now, therefore, make a new cart. Interesting. Don't get an old one. They don't know anything. They don't know any Christianese. They don't know any Hebrewese. They just say, you know what? This God of the Jews is a heavy-duty God, and we better say we're sorry, and we better make an honor in our worship to him. Go get a new cart and go get two milk cows, which have never been yoked. Brand new cows. And hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves away, home, from them. That meant that they were nursing these calves, these two mama cows. Oh, you dairymen are saying some other word. I don't know. Take their mama cows, their nursing cows. Verse 8, then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you have returned to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go. And watch, if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. So they're laying out a fleece before God. And by the way, God's going to honor this fleece. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that has struck us. It happened to us by chance. Verse 10, then the men did so, and they took the two milk cows, and they hitched them up, and they put out the ark on the brand new cart, and they put the offerings there, the tumors and all that. The cows headed, look, verse 12, straight up the road to the first Jewish town. That's that town that's mentioned there. It's the first Jewish city outside of their territory. So these guys are saying, look, put it on a cart. We're going to do this thing. We're going to get this God out of here. Now, what breaks my heart is I'm hoping if I could have been there in real time, I would love to have somebody jump and say, time out. Okay, our big chief kahuna God fell on his face, broke his neck and his hands in front of this thing. Now, we know that this is just a thing. We had to put it on the cart. But the God that this represents, I think we better worship him. They're making the right steps. They've repented. They've made an honor. They made a sacrifice unto this great God, this holy God. I just wonder if any of them were converted to him. I wonder. You think this is the end of the story? I bet you back then people talked about this, don't you think? It was on the front page of the Gaza Gazette, you know? Hebrew God, you know, whips our God, and a priest winds up with hemorrhoids, film at 11, you know? I mean, it had to be amazing. And so, verse 12 tells us that the cattle went lowing all the way as they went. The two mother cows are crying. And that's very powerful because they want to go back to their babies. But God, divinely watching over these two cows, are pulling that ark down the road. And those mama cows are crying all the way. They're mooing, wanting to go back to their babies. But you know what? Those cows were serving God Almighty. And they were heading back into that first Jewish town so that that ark would be back amongst the people of Israel again. They didn't go to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border. And I bet they're standing there like, we're not going to bed tonight until we know that thing is crossed into Beth Shemesh. There's no way. God's honor among the pagans. Sometimes I wonder if God doesn't get sometimes greater honor among some pagans sometimes than some people who claim to know God. There are people, you think of Jonah, who went and preached that message, and it was the shortest sermon you've ever seen in your life. It was graceless. He had no worship band. He had no follow-up material. He had no second service planned. He gets spit up on the shore. He makes his trek into town. There is at least, they tell us, 500,000 of the pagan people there. Nineveh, he says, is condemned. 40 days and you fry. He turns and he walks away. These pagans freak. I probably would have freaked too as a giant fish spits this guy out on the beach. That would have, what is this guy, an alien? What's the deal? You know, the bile from the fish probably ate up all of his hair and skin and face and all that stuff. You probably look like a freak. It's probably part of the message, you know, that God had in store. This guy comes out, 40 days, and you fry, you know. And that freaked him out. The king says, that's it, everything repents. Even the animals repent. Everybody repents. He does. Nobody eats, not even the animals. We repent. We sit down in sackcloth and ashes and we weep and ask for this God to forgive us. What happens? The shortest sermon with the greatest altar call ever in human history. And the funny thing about it is the evangelist didn't want anybody to get saved. He wanted them all to die. He did. He wanted them all. In fact, he got in a fight with God about it. He said, I knew it. You are a merciful, kind, and forgiving God. Isn't that great? He built a little hut with a little vine, and he sat there to watch the Ninevites fry. He did. He was, and it says that he took great delight as he waited for the judgment to come. It's like, oh man, 23 days, 22 days. And God hears the cry of the city repenting. If the Philistines would have repented, or maybe some of them did, what would have happened? What would happen if Vladimir Putin were to go on Russian TV tonight and say, listen, I've been wrong. I'm an atheistic evolutionist, but I've been wrong. God lives. Jesus Christ is real. And the nation of Russia must bow and serve the great God of heaven and earth. Could you imagine? You say, well, that'll never happen. Hey, it could happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called This Holy God. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 5 and 6. Even the pagan Philistines realize the glory and power of the one true God of Israel, at least to some degree. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, our website is, of course, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. That's where you can keep in touch with all things regarding this ongoing radio outreach. And, of course, that could include a subscription to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's weekly devotional that we really think you're going to like, and you can get it in your email inbox. We keep getting more and more Real Radio listeners subscribing and then expressing their appreciation for Words to the Wise, just like this one. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for being faithful and providing us with great messages and weekly devotions. I wish I lived in California and could attend your church. The listener says, I think you should open up a campus here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I listen to your sermons online, and your vision and ministry are exactly what I think the churches around here lack. God bless you. Well, I got to tell you, we love the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. I personally have lots of friends and family there, and we appreciate your encouraging words. Subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right there that says devotional, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.